Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Lest I forget it, let me give you that telephone number for your call-in, your dialogue and discussion, as some puts it, to have your 2 cents worth put into the program. Love to have your contact, your information, your ideas and your thoughts, your challenges, if you will. 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so on the authority of the Word of God. It's the truth book. We are finding more and more today that truth is an elusive factor, in fact, almost not found in the secular society, and especially in the Beltway in Washington today. But as we face the issues, we do so based on truth. It was Jesus that said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus said that to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And then further, Jesus says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So it's the truth of the word of God that ought to be the direction, the modus operandi, if I can say that, for our life, should be the pattern for our living. It ought to be what we stand on. That is truth, the truth book. It is the truth of the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about today by question form, how long will we sit in silence? How long will we sit in silence? I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me, I'm talking to each conservative, each patriot, each Christian. How long will we sit in silence as we see what the liberals, the socialists, the Marxists, the communists are calling a global reset? We're watching it before our eyes. Will we sit in silence? Will we be the watchman on the wall? Will we take a stand and warn others of what is taking place? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Urge you to listen carefully. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we ask the question, how long will we sit in silence? Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell many years ago that made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. It is a fact today that what we're hearing on social media, by way of the Marxist communist media, President Trump calls it fake news. It is fake news. It's propaganda. At the very least, it is what I call the Marxist media. It is a socialist, communist, Marxist medium that's being used in society today to cultivate society, to basically redirect our thinking by listening to and watching it. That's what's happening to society today. But we find that Orwell's statement is so on target for today. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that precisely taking place. This is the reason it's so necessary for us to understand what the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus said. He said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And may I suggest that ought to be our goal, our ambition? I want to ask you a question. Where do you get your news? What do you listen to? Are you interested in, concerned about whether or not it is valid information being transmitted? At one time, we could say Fox News was a good source. Not anymore. Fox News has joined in the whole host of the media today that has a goal of brainwashing, changing the mindset of society. It is very dangerous. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, to go back to the truth book, the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear as to what we ought to do, and we'll talk about that during this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup generation equipment. Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about lawn care equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic United States flag flowing at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the question that I'm asking today is, how long will you sit in silence? How long will we be willing to sit in silence and watch what is taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats, and the socialist media, the Marxist media, are on an agenda. And that agenda is to completely silence the conservatives, completely shut out the Christians in the United States of America. Yes, it's okay for them. Listen, it's okay for them, that is the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democratic Party, and the Marxist media. It's okay for them to call us, that is the Christians, that is the patriots, the conservatives, call us names, demean us, castigate us, accuse us, call us as conservatives, call all conservatives, Christians and patriots, all kinds of vicious, vile names. And then when we talk back, when we say something about what is being done, when we present facts, when we stand up for truth, when we say this is truth and what you're saying is a lie, when we stand and say that we're here to protect our Bill of Rights, we're here to protect what God has given us as a nation, then all of a sudden we're the bad guys. All of a sudden we're the ones that are in need of truth. I find it antithetical to anything that's called truth, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, some of the demeaning things that's been said, and I can't go into all of the details today. Time won't allow it if we had a three-hour broadcast. But just for example, the recent diatribe and the delusionary material that's been put out in relationship to Thanksgiving and Christmas by the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, operative under the terms of the Democrats and under the term of the media. Here's an article that says, Thanksgiving History by MSNBC. Thanksgiving is a colonizer's Christmas with links to cannibalism. I don't know if you've had the joy of hearing them demean us and demoralize us and denigrate Christmas and Thanksgiving, but that's what they've done. This is a massive article coming from one that is Douglas Golden from the Western Journal that's published this, but it's from MSNBC in a dialogue, and it's about an 8-page article. I'm going to read you about three paragraphs of it to set the pace. It says, yet there was on MSNBC's AM Joy on Saturday, this time guest hosted by Jason Johnson, as the Media Research Center reported, Johnson called Thanksgiving colonizers' Christmas and then drew it to a parallel who managed to sink lore from there. Johnson began with the usual Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warnings against gatherings at Thanksgiving or Christmas this year. In some jurisdictions, he said, Americans are restricted from gathering by law and urging you not to be the turkey who puts your loved ones at risk in Thanksgiving at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Further, he says, This turned into something less akin to kicking the holiday when it's down and more like hitting it in the ribs with a baseball bat. Johnson asked panelist Gina Cobb about how Thanksgiving has evolved in America. Just like Christmas, right? At one point, Christmas was a time for rich people to open their houses for people to come and get a lot of stuff, end quote. Thanksgiving has changed over time as well. I know in my family, I know several people who call it the colonizer's Christmas, because they don't really like the idea of what Thanksgiving represents. Further in the article, even think about it. The original Thanksgiving, you know, where the colony was starving, and you know, anthropological research suggests was in such dire condition that they had to resort to cannibalism to remain alive, Cobb said. At the Media Research Center, Mark Feinstein wrote, the left's campaign to undermine and ultimately destroy American traditions and culture marches inexorably on. It is a continual march to destroy what we have held so near and dear all of these years as Thanksgiving and Christmas. It is an approach, ladies and gentlemen, to destroy the fundamental foundation of the United States of America. And it's something that the Bible talks about in Psalms 11:3. If our foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's a question that begs to be asked, and we need to answer and understand what is happening to we, the people, in the United States of America. And the question is asked, how long will we sit in silence? Joseph, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I'm going to refer back to the two questions. When will we take a stand? How long will we be silent? Millions of Christians voted for Republicans in the last election, but satanic forces are trying to steal it. We must pray. The Republicans flipped 12 House seats from Democrat to Republican. I think God loves to respond to our prayers, but there's a scripture, I think it's in James, says, you have not because you ask not.
Yes.
I believe God still performs miracles today, and I don't know if you want me to go into these miracles, but you know, the Jews appeared to be trapped at the Red Sea as Pharaoh and his army was approaching, but suddenly God showed up. And then, you know, I could go on and on about how he showed up when it looked really bad, but God
yes.
can do anything.
And I believe it's at the 11th hour and the 59th minute when God usually shows up. It
right.
is when we recognize, he wants us to come to the point that we recognize that he is our only hope. He is our only help. He is our only resource, especially in times like these. You're exactly right, brother. And the cutting through the chase of where we're going today in the broadcast is the fact that, yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need to humble ourselves before God. Yes, we need to seek his face. Yes, we need to confess our sins and ask him to heal our land. And I believe that God can do it. And this is the reason I'm saying we need not no longer sit in silence. Yes, we have been defrauded in this vote. Yes, a coup has taken place, the worst in the history of the United States of America, as several writers have put it. That's exactly right. But in the face of that, what are we to do? How should we respond? What shall we do in response to it? And multitudes, the thing that is so irksome, if I can use that term, to me, is so many pastors are simply tossing in the towel and saying, well, we've lost the election, and God's going to work through it anyway, and we need to ask Trump to simply concede the election. Voice after voice after voice. It's bad enough to hear those voices calling for Trump to concede the election coming out of the Republicans in the House and the Senate. But it's even worse when it comes out of the so-called Christian leadership in America, not recognizing that we have the election that has been stolen or an attempt to do so. The last chapter of the book's not been written yet. And how long will Christians sit in silence? How long will we sit back and say, well, you know, that's what's going to be. What's going to be is going to be. We can do nothing about it. That is simply not right, Joseph. And I believe that you and I are on the same track, that we need to pray. We need to ask God to heal our land. We need to ask God to intervene and recognize that's the history of God's action is always at the last moment, so that we can see that it is, in fact, a divine intervention and performing
right.
the miracle that only God can do. So, brother, thank you so much. Keep on looking up. our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about how long will we sit in silence, especially as Christians. Now, there are a lot of folks that think that it's okay to sit in silence. There are a lot of people that will chide and bemoan the fact that as Christians, we ought to simply talk about Jesus, preach Jesus, talk about love, preach love, and nothing else is going to suffice. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, the Bible is filled with the challenge for Christians to stand up, wake up, and to be the watchman on the wall. It is clear, for example, in Ezekiel 33, verse 3 in particular, when he seeth, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, and he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then he goes on to talk about it in the ensuing verses, that if the watchman on the wall warn the people, they do not listen, the blood is on their heads, on their hands. The scripture says then in verse 6 of that, but if the watchman see a sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among him, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Verse 8 then says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Ladies and gentlemen, God is warning us that as believers in particular, we ought to stand on the wall and be the watchman on the wall, warning of the danger to come. What does a watchman do? He sees the danger looming. And in seeing the danger looming, he blows the trumpet and warns the land that there will be no harm and danger coming. There are a lot of people today that are failing to obey the scripture and to be the watchman that God would have us to be, watchman on the wall, warning of dangers ahead. But ladies and gentlemen, if in fact, and I'm using that as an if in fact Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are successful in stealing this election, it won't be an election that they've won. It won't be an election that's based on the will of the people. It won't be an administration that is there because of a mandate from the people. It will be an election that will have been absolutely stolen. And in that stolen election, we will find, ladies and gentlemen, the most deplorable things taking place in our nation that we would never have dreamed would be possible in the United States of America. You'll recall Hillary Clinton called us a basket full of deplorables. You'll remember that Barack Hussein Obama said that conservative Christians were just people that wanted to hold on to our guns and our Bible and our religion. Joe Biden called Christians the dregs of society. Yet, somehow, some way, there's a mindset we need to be silent. There's a mindset that we should do nothing and say nothing. There's a mindset that says that Christians have no responsibility to be in the limelight or to be on the battlefront and be the sword of the spear, tip of the spear, to do something in relationship to turning our nation's heart toward God and turning our nation back to God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the social media now that has banned all conservative speech. Hear me, social media, the high-tech industry in America, the technology gurus have determined that the Christian's voice, the conservative's voice, the patriot's voice ought not to be heard, that we need not to have a seat at the table, that we need not to be able to be heard, to be seen, and to be have any speech, anything in the midst of the conversation about what is happening. The social media is making the decision on what we can or cannot do today, ladies and gentlemen. The fake news says that all of Trump's supporters should be rounded up and put in a re-educational camp. Yes, you're exactly right. You heard what I said correctly. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking the question today, how long can we remain silent? How long as Christians will we sit in silence and say nothing and do nothing? Here's the article. Keith Olbermann, quote, turn Trump hotels into prisons for enablers. Already known as the poster child for the Trump derangement syndrome, former ESPN and MSNBC host Keith Olbermann continues to outdo himself, calling for the criminalizing policy differences and turning Trump buildings, hear me, says turning Trump buildings, Trump hotels, into prisons for members of the president's administration. Olbermann said, he wants as many members as possible of this corrupt, now this is what he's calling President Trump and this society. He wants as many members as possible of this corrupt, immoral, anti-democratic, outgoing administration indicted, arrested, tried, and imprisoned. Quote, we want enough of them in there that they could hold reunions and birthday parties. We want the prison so filled with Trumps and Trump flunkies and Trump apologists and Trump enablers that we have to convert Trump buildings into blankety-blankety-blank Trump prisons, he said Tuesday in his ongoing video series posted on Twitter called Trump Oberman versus Trump. Last week, he accused Trump supporters of committing treason against humanity and asserting that they should be imprisoned. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what is taking place today. It was bad enough as Hillary Rodham Clinton called us a basket full of deplorables. It's bad enough when we see the Obama calls conservative Christians simply the Obama called us those who want to hold on to our Bibles and our guns and our religion. It's bad enough that Joe Biden has called Christians the dregs of society. But now the chatter out there among the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats and the communist media is that we Christians, we as conservatives, we ought to simply be willing to toss in the towel and allow our vote not to count, to allow somehow, some way, the people that have supported Trump and voted for Trump and the Trump administration to be put in Trump in educational camps, imprisonment camps. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that I've ever heard in my lifetime. I'm still less than 100 years old. I don't know of anything I've ever heard that's any more deplorable, any more disdainful, any more denigrative than the statements like that. It is horrific to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow, some way, there's a mindset that it's okay for the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrats to say things like that, but as Christians, we ought to remain silent. As Christians, we ought to stay in our little buildings, and Christians, we ought to simply stay in the church building. We're not supposed to come out. We're not supposed to be salt and light. We're not supposed to be heard or seen, according to the Marxist liberals. We need to take a stand, and we need to say so, and we need to do so immediately before our liberties and our freedoms and our Bill of Rights are simply destroyed before our eyes. I believe we have Lily on the line. Go over the question and the comment, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. As I listen to your monologue and, yes, listening to you, it has occurred to me that tomorrow, possibly, if we could dedicate facing the issues to honoring God, we pray, you know, because I really think that just as the earlier caller mentioned, crossing the Red Sea, and of course David and Goliath and things like that, I know God delight in putting his enemies to shame, bringing them down, especially those who lord it over and, you know, brag and show off and their might and power. So I know God delight in really bringing them down, putting them to shame, and we are trusting him to do something. We need him. So I think tomorrow we could, you know, we could talk to God, pray, you know, on the line, you know, pray. We give honor to God, give glory to him. I really think sometimes we don't give enough. They are giving all the glory, pride, and to the enemy, to their God, and we need to glorify our God. Glorify
absolutely,
God.
I think that's a wonderful idea, and I suggest to any of our listeners today that's what we ought to do: is holding this up before the Lord and inviting Him, inviting God to come in and to perform the miracle, even at the last moment. And praise, ladies and gentlemen, God. Thank you, Lily, so much for your input and for your call. Thank you for the blessing that you are to us as you point back to the very fact that it's God that's our only hope. It is God that is our resource. It is God that can change the direction of history at this very moment, even at the last minutes. And ladies and gentlemen, just let me tuck this in at this moment. Out of all of the states in the United States of America, approximately 28 to 30 of them use the fake, phony, false vote switching machines put out by Dominion. And now Dominion is trying to protect themselves. They've hired a whole sheaf of lawyers to defend them. But yet with the Dominion voting systems, they have been It has been proven, and it will be a part of the Sidney Powell court cases, to prove in court that those machines literally had the power to switch votes from Trump to Biden. And I understand, that's part of what I'm talking about today, that this is called a conspiracy theory. What we're saying now, in saying that there was a manipulation of the machines, that there was a manipulation of the votes, that there was a the votes were stolen, we're told there's an attempt to make us believe that we're simply believing a lie, that we're simply believing a conspiracy theory. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not conspiratorial to talk about it. It's not a conspiracy theory at all. It is facts. And this is what we were talking about earlier with our previous caller, that at the last minute, I believe God's going to divinely intervene, just as he did in 2016, by putting a new King Cyrus, that is Donald J. Trump, in position to lead our nation and to help continue to protect the nation of Israel. But out of the 28 to 30 states using those machines, about six of them are the ones that are being challenged, that's in question. About six of those states, ladies and gentlemen, and we're finding more and more of the states now where some of the state leadership are stepping up to the plate, notwithstanding a Republican governor in Georgia, a Republican head of the election process in Georgia, that are wicked, evil people. I'm using the term that President Trump just stated last evening in an interview, and this morning by way of television interview, by way of a phone interview he called in that was replayed this morning, that was on 106 on the dial, the Fox Business Channel. And in that one-hour interview, he talked about how wicked and evil those two leaders in the state of Georgia happens to be. And I think it's time that we as Christians speak up, stand up, and not shut up and be seated in silence in the closet, as the rank liberals, the socialist Marxists, are wanting us to be silent. But ladies and gentlemen, if a Biden administration takes hold in the nation, the fake news will continue to demean and destroy us. The fake news says that all of the Trump supporters, as I said earlier, should be rounded up and put in re-educational camps. We've been told that all that stands for truth are called conspiracy theories, and that our views are basically should be discarded as something that is not true. Biden's coronavirus advisor, for example, ladies and gentlemen, has said that people ought not to live beyond 75 years of age. So I don't know what will happen, ladies and gentlemen, as far as the breadth and the depth of the difficulties we'll face in America if he goes into office. But we need to wake up, sit up, and understand that it will be difficult days before us. Here's an article that says an associate professor at Grand Valley State University in Michigan says the Republican Party is starting to seem like a terrorist organization. Hear me, I'm talking about all the demeaning, derogatory things that's been said and continues to be said about conservatives, about Christians, about patriotic Americans. He goes on to say the same professor has written op-eds for media outlets owned by the Chinese Communist Party. He shared in like posts from various communist social media accounts, including the Communist Party, Chinese Communist Party officials. Joel Wendeland, an associate professor of integrative religious and intercultural studies at Grand Valley State University in Allendale, Michigan, says the Republican Party is starting to seem like a terrorist organization. Quote, is the Republican Party a terrorist organization? Question mark. Starting to seem that way, he says in one of his tweets. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being demeaned and called everything but sane individuals, and I think it's time that we stand up and be obedient to the Word of God. God's Word says, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking in Matthew the 5th chapter, we need to be salt and light. Salt is vacuous, void, ineffective unless it comes out of the shaker. Light is absolutely ineffective unless it comes out of the closet. We need to be seen, we need to be heard in a darkened, decaying, dying society today as never before in the history of our world. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a top of the hour break for 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.